We've talked a few times here on Issues and Ideas about the affordable housing state mandate that all cities and towns have to adhere to. The belief now was that this would be an absolute positive, you know, creating new housing opportunities while taking, let's call them less than perfect locations, and once again making them an asset for a city or a town. Well, it turns out that hope is not an absolute after all. One New Jersey town sees the way forward in buying a family farm. And if that fails, then just flat out taking it away as their plan B through eminent domain. My first guest today is here to explain how and why this is happening. He is an attorney with the law firm Stark & Stark, Timothy Dugan. How are you today, sir?
Morning. Good. Doing well. Thank you.
And to find out more about the legal services of Stark & Stark, well, if you're assuming the obvious, you're almost there. It's stark-stark.com, and we have that link at our homepage as well. So this involves a family farm dating back over a century in Cranberry, New Jersey. It's absentee ownership for two brothers, but it is an active farm. It's important to establish that, I think, because a lot of people think that the cities and towns are going after, as I referred to in the introduction, less than stellar pieces of property to do what they have to do, whether they want to or not. But this is an active farm, cattle and sheep. And what is it that Cranberry is doing, and how does it not align with the, at least the legal intent of eminent domain laws in New Jersey?
Great, thank you. So, yeah, this is the Henry family's had this farm in their family for over 175 years. The original family home's there. It's a historic home. Not designated, but it's a very old historic home. It's been an operating farm, and Annie and his family still own it. They, since they're a little older, they do have another farmer presently operating and has sheep and cattle, and they grow hay for their animals. It's about 21 acres. It's a beautiful farm. Everybody in the community loves stopping by to see it. Cranberry has to find a way to build about 265 affordable housing units as part of what we call round four of the affordable housing battle in the state of New Jersey. And Andy and his family support that. They're big supporters of affordable housing. They just believe that there's more suitable properties in Cranberry to build the affordable housing so they don't take this historic farm. Because when you look back at their master plan, which is sort of the big picture of what they want to do on a planning point of view for the township, they've always tried to preserve the farms, which is great. And then they put all their industrial properties all out by the turnpike, which is a good location for them. It's a good, strong tax basis. And I think it's a good good planning, good proper planning. Now, in order to build their affordable housing, they are moving away from the intent of the master plan, which is to preserve a farm, because they're taking a farm. And now they're putting residential housing, the low-income housing, out by the warehouses. So when you look at it from both sides, we just don't think it's a proper use of the power of eminent domain to take a property that's been a historic farm in order to build affordable housing in a part of town where these people are going to be secluded. They're going to be out by the other warehouses. You know, they're going to have to cross the New Jersey Turnpike to get part of the town. So we don't think it's makes common sense. It's good planning, and we don't believe it's a proper decision of a local municipality to do all of this in order to meet their affordable housing, which is good. You know, we want to make that clear.
Sure.
The Henry family has since supported it, but just build it somewhere else in a more suitable site.
If you're listening, I don't think I really have to remind you of this. If you want to realize how unpopular living around warehouses happens to be, just had a story ongoing recently here in northwest New Jersey and Sparta, be around what happened and watch what happens when plans for a warehouse construction project comes to light, and you'll see the reaction to that. But the town, Cranberry, is saying that they're in effect putting the blame on the details of the state mandate with transportation access, sewer requirements. Under your understanding, did Cranberry do a legitimate search of all potential sites, or are they taking the quick and easy way out?
We've been asking for that information. We did an open request and did not get a response at the various meetings, and some of those are online. Residents have been asking that question. You know, where's the inventory of all the properties that you looked at? Now, we understand they shouldn't, you know, necessarily be coming out and having people point the fingers at other properties. But I don't think the public fully believes that all these other properties were properly vetted and there's not more suitable properties. And we've been asking and haven't been getting answers. We think we'll get those answers once we are in court.
Wasn't eminent domain designed to improve on an area? You take an abandoned piece of property, a burned out apartment house, just as an example, and you, as like I referred to again in the introduction, you want to bring the community a step up because multiple people win. It raises property values. It makes the town and city more attractive. It adds to the community. So, you know, where does taking away from the community seem like a positive to the town council?
Yeah, so there's various types of eminent domain. What you were just talking about, New Jersey does have a in our state constitution, I believe, a clause that allows property to be taken for economic redevelopment to cure blight. So sometimes you'll have that in a part of town, it's in really bad shape, it's blighted, and you can use the power of eminent domain to turn around that neighborhood and hopefully benefit everybody. The United States Supreme Court in the Kelo decision said, yes, that's constitutional, that having this public benefit is tantamount to a public use. And if the government can show benefit of job creations, tax base, things like that, they can take private property from one private property owner and give it to another private property owner. I think the majority of Americans, I haven't seen polls, but I'd have to assume are against that. And I think it's an overreach and disagree with the Supreme Court, but it's the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
However, you also can use the power of eminent domain for other uses, for example, schools, roads, where there's public use or public benefits. And I think under New Jersey, they are permitted in certain circumstances to take private property to build affordable housing. That is a public benefit. The question is, we believe that there needs to be checks and balances and that that power is not limitless. And it has to be planned and viewed and be consistent with not only eminent domain law, but also with the intent of the affordable housing, which is to build affordable housing in an inclusive and fair manner. And you can't just find, you know, parts of town that are on the outskirts and cut everybody, you know, put them on the other side of the track so we don't have to see them. That's not the intent of the affordable housing. If you're in a town where you have no other options, you have no other options, I understand that. We just believe that there's other options in Cranberry, and the one they're pursuing is a bad option.
Talking with attorney Timothy Dugan with the law firm Stark & Stark about eminent domain in New Jersey, stark-stark.com, the law firm's website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You mentioned with public use the ideas of parks and roadways, things like that, which obviously that is for everyone to be able to use. Can't the argument be made that affordable housing, although you said it is permissible through, I guess, precedent, but there's only 266 units they have to build? That's not exactly mass public use, is it?
No, it's not. And you get into this, I don't want to say distinction. I think it's a distinction. The courts don't, between public use and public benefit. Providing affordable housing, I think, benefits everybody. It's a mandate because New Jersey courts found the way many towns have adopted zoning laws. They've done it in a discriminatory fashion. They've been battling since the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, we refer to this as round four of affordable housing in New Jersey, where one, two, and three didn't work as well as people had hoped. Towns were fighting back. Various nonprofit groups were fighting, and the court in round four came up with or the legislature came up with a mechanism to fix the amount of affordable housing that certain towns will have to build, and then it's up to those towns to file a plan by the end of June showing how they're going to build those. You know, we haven't seen that plan. We've been asking for it. We haven't seen it. We think we'll be getting in the next 2 weeks, and we're curious to find out, you know, are there other properties that can be utilized to meet the affordable housing mandates, because we've been asking for it, and we believe there are others. So, you know, the problem is this has been mandated by the court, now the legislature, And I think many towns want to go in and protect themselves to what they call a builder's remedy. And that's where a lawsuit gets filed by a builder and asks the court to fix the number of affordable housing and how they're going to be built. And the towns then would lose control. By going through this process and following the rules, the towns will insulate themselves from builder remedy suits, but they still have to come up and find a way to build these units.
I'm looking at this too, thinking, is this Cranberry saying that, I mean, they're not one of the towns who joined, I don't believe, in the lawsuit pushing back on the mandate. Was this Cranberry saying, all right, you want us to do this, we'll do it, but you're not going to like it?
I think they said, we're going to do it. I think they're serious about it. I think they understand their obligations and want to meet it. Our opinion, again, this is just our opinion, is they're taking the easy way out, trying to do it all at one time on one farm. And we think there's consequences to that, including losing a 175-year-old farm that really is historic to the people out in that area. We believe they should go a little slower. You don't have to rush it, and you could do it in a more fair and equitable way, including where you're building the affordable housing. And that's a key part of this.
And this isn't exclusive to Cranberry. In Toms River, the mayor is condemning a church and replace it with a park and a pickleball court, which goes against what the church is planning to do, would be a overnight shelter for homeless people.
Yes, and there's allegations that certain towns are taking property for, you know, open space or other public uses to stop affordable housing projects. So you sort of have it on both ends. Again, those are allegations, and those cases are being litigated right now. But, you know, I've been involved in cases where the property owner has alleged, you're specifically taking my property to avoid affordable housing in this part of town. Now we're on the flip side saying, well, we're going to take it to build affordable housing on this side of town. And it becomes very nuanced and very complicated because you have two very important policy decisions battling one another, the power of eminent domain and farm preservation on one side, and on the other side, the need for affordable housing, as well as just housing in general in New Jersey. You know, I think we do need more homes in New Jersey. We're very populated and people need homes, but we do need the affordable housing to be built in a fair and equitable way in the state of New Jersey. You know, fair to both sides, fair to the towns, but also fair to people who want to get into these towns to help improve themselves, their lives, their children's, and they should have an opportunity to get in these towns.
I want to mention for you listening to as we wrap up here, there's a GoFundMe set up for the Henry family to cover the legal fees because fighting costs money. That's one of the realities of the country we live in. So if you want to add to the GoFundMe fund, we have a link at our homepage as well. Learn more about the services of the Stark & Stark Law Firm, their website, stark-stark.com. He is one of their attorneys specializing in, among other things, eminent domain. Timothy Dugan, thank you so much for alerting us to this because it can happen. If it can happen to in a situation like this, it could happen to just about anybody, depending on one community to another. So thank you for the knowledge you share and for being here today.
Great. Thanks for inviting me on, and I really appreciate you covering this topic. It is very important.